All right, we've hooked him up this morning. Here's Hooch. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Darren. Good morning, listeners. I apologise for missing last week.
Yeah, so what happened?
Well, some of you may know the fourth pub had 150th birthday celebration, and earlier on in the week, as they were leading into that, Trent, the publican, dobbed me in to do a narration on a slideshow or a PowerPoint show they were doing on the historical history of the fourth pub. And when I got the phone call from the Historical Society, I said, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise that when I got it on the Tuesday arvo that she was 130 slides. And so if you want to try and do a reasonable job, it takes a couple of readings and a few different angles. So it actually took me probably over 3 minutes a slide to get right, so you do the math. So I was up till 2 a.m. or worse for two nights, and then I set my alarm to make sure I was up for the fishing show, and I slept through it.
Okay.
I actually slept through it, so I do apologise.
Well, that happens.
But it was a cracking weekend. I had to go down to the powerboats down at Hobart, but I was there for Friday night, and I heard the Casey Chambers song that she covers from Eminem, and I love that song. She does a great job of that and puts a completely different twist on it. So I got on my push bike and I went down and I watched that from the bridge. That was amazing to see Casey Chambers do that live. And then I got home at about 8:30. Hadley Deegan from Deegan Marine brought me back. I went down and back to him. He had a great day and come second in the feature event. And there was a band on, there was two or three bands on to go, and then the last band, Pete King Duck, must have said to the sound people, we want some volume.
Yeah.
And the sound recorders must have said, what do you want?
Yeah.
And Pete King Duck said, all of it.
All of it, yeah. Give us all of it.
So it was amazing. It's probably not too amazing for some of the people right down in town who'd had 2 days of it, but I loved it.
Yeah.
This Pete King Duck band, who I've never really heard much of, they were awesome.
So very good.
It was an amazing event. If you get a chance to have a look at some of the videos that are coming out about that event, it was a bloody national, if not world-class event, and credit goes to Trent and all his helpers. It was an absolute ripper. But I apologise for getting off track.
That's okay. And speaking of off track, now, you mentioned your bike there before. You got hit on your bike. What was it, yesterday?
Oh, a little bit of a drama yesterday, and I tell you what, I'm going to give you a little bit of insight. Over the years, I've had a fair few motorbike crashes, not on the road, but in the bush. I'm a C-class to B-class enduro motorbike rider on my good day, and I grew up riding with Matt Woodhouse, who's a world-class enduro rider. He lives at Forth, and he's a real talent. He's been in the Australian and International 6 days, competing with people around the world. Byron Murphy, who's an excellent motorbike rider back in his day, Nigel Nugawella. So I used to try and hang on to the back of those guys, and the crashes I would have had, and I used to get sore and busted up. But I tell you what, I got knocked off my push bike yesterday by a four-wheel drive. Some people said it was a truck, but I think it was a four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
And last night, I was that sore, I couldn't move. I got out of the hospital and like about 3 a.m. It was like those movies where people are in a coma and they're all and they, you know how their eyes are moving and that's it. Oh, and I tried to move and it was so bad, my neck and all my. I must have had some X-rays because I don't remember the crash or I don't actually remember. I remember about 15 minutes after leaving home and that's it. She's a blank slate after that, but no doubt they've put me in. X-ray machines and shit, so I must be okay. But
wow,
oh my God,
man, your life, eh?
She was wild.
Crazy life.
I apologise to whoever hit me. I'm not saying it was my fault, but again, probably 50-50. Hard to say because I can't remember.
No limbs broken though.
No, amazingly, nothing broken. But okay. I tell you what, and I don't have any skin off. It's the most bizarre thing. Because normally if I have a bit of a tumble or have a few issues, you've got some skin off your knuckles around. Mm. But I had my helmet on, but I've got like a really nasty, blunt sort of force trauma injury to the old head, which is why I don't remember anything, I don't think. I used to play footy with my head. I used to lead with my head a lot. And I've had a few injuries and a few, but I've never not been able to remember anything like this. full shutdown.
Okay, well, it's an age thing too, mate, you know.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Just saying. Should we talk fishing?
I think we should.
Let's
it's
talk snapper.
The whole thing, isn't it? Oh, and I wanted to go on about snapper because it's an amazing species and what's unfolded over the last 5 years. You'll hear me carry on about it all the time, but it's amazing and there's a whole heap of things at play. It's not just the water quality because we used to get reasonably good fish runs of barracuda and different species back when we had tyoxide and all that, and our water quality was rubbish. But it does, you know, open my eyes to think that the water quality out there now, some sort of environmental change, because I'm not going to say it's global warming, I'm sick to death of that term. I think it's more about a seasonal changes, and it means that we've got not just snapper. We used to have the pinkies, which is a colloquial term for the little ones. We've got some monsters. Damon Sheriff from the north-northeast, there's people down the north-northwest, and also people off Port Sorrell are catching some absolute thumpers, 4, 5, 6 kilo fish, 20-pound fish, and there's the good pan-sized ones in amongst them. So all I can do is really stress to people to turn their head to this species and get a real understanding of how to catch them. There's a fair bit of different technique, and you've got to be an anchor and use a little burley, but you can make your own burley, and they yield lots of flesh per fish, so they're a really, really good fish to catch.
Look, I was reading the... I love reading the... particularly looking at the photos of the fishing stories in The Advocate, which come out on Thursday. Yesterday, there was a kid called... what's his... Actually, I got the paper from yesterday.
Get the paper.
Ollie Campbell.
Yes.
With a massive brown trout caught at Lake Crescent last weekend.
Oh, Lake Crescent is a bit of a cool story. It's a bit of an anomaly. Like, some of the areas that get large brown trout, they're stocked. But Lake Crescent and Sorrell, back in the day before they got the carp, they sort of had a good mix of good fish. Trout must have went in there originally with good genetics, and then there's a good food source, an amazing food source. And those fish in Lake Crescent are monsters, and they do get fish pretty hard. Good on most of the fishers. If you catch a fish in Lake Crescent, a lot of them put them back, and so it's been a good fishery for many years. I call it the land of 1,000 calves, because while the fish are not, you know, in there by their thousands, when you catch one, it is a cracker. So you've normally got to do roughly 1,000 casts for each fish. It's not for everyone because it is tricky to hunt and stalk them. It's muddy at times. It looks like the water is like chocolate, and you think, I'm wasting my time here. But if you can get your lure or your fly to go past one of these crescent monsters, it's a really good effort to catch a big fish and take a photo and let it back. But, I mean, you can always take it home because these fish, you know, you can't put every fish back into a trophy water. That doesn't work because what happens is, you get too many fish in there and they start to not be as in good condition and they lose weight and they become what we call cricket bats.
Yeah.
So they're long and they're thin and you call them cricket bats. My old granddad used to call them cricket bats and sometimes in the Great Lake they were in poor nick many, many years ago and you just catch them and the stupid thing would be to put them back if they're in so poor condition. But they're even that ordinary to eat, so you just throw them up on the bank. And that's the thing with crescent too. Don't begrudge anyone for taking a fish out of that crescent trophy water because it actually helps the fish to become trophies by taking a fish out of there that's going to eat a heap of food and let the others grow bigger.
Yeah. Pretty good weather we've got for fishing this weekend as well. Fine right across the weekend. Particularly Sunday will be sunny with light to moderate winds. I'll do the high tides. So we've got a high at 5:53 this afternoon, 3 metres, perfect time, just after work, very nice. Saturday's high, 6:26 in the morning, 6:36 in the evening. Sunday's high, 7:02 in the morning, 7:23 in the evening. Of course, we've got daylight savings, so it's daylight till near on 9 o'clock nowadays. So I see some good fish being caught this weekend, I reckon, because conditions are absolutely beautiful.
Yes, and you can tell that after this wet weather and this funny, weird, inclement weather that we've had, that we are on the improve, although having said that, there was a frost yesterday morning and snow up at the Highlands, I hear. But the weather is on the improve, so it's always good to fish in good weather, and it's on the way.
Right. Have you heard any crayfish stories?
I have. The crayfishing's been going very well. The East Coast opened just recently. The West Coast's been open for a while. The East Coast potted very well on opening. The West Coast had a really good spate of weather there last weekend, and I know a number of crews. Clinton Howe went down, and he's the skipper of my team, and so I had to stay home and do some powerboat stuff, so that was a bit sad, but they did very well. They caught some very nice crayfish and also found some new stripy trumpeter spots and found some monster stripy trumpeter. The West Coast is like Jurassic Park of stripy trumpeter. And also the Purton boys in their vessel, Team Seismic, they went down there and had a cracker weekend as well. So those boys fish out of a stabby craft. You'll see it with a really nice big wrap up the side of it. Ethan and Bryce Purton, and they've got a cool bunch of lads, and they're always up for a chat and we'll tell you how they go about it. So keep an eye for those guys in the ramps.
Right. Before we finish, tell us about Party Piscatorial.
Yes. Please get on that, Party Piscatorial. It's on January the 12th. It's a little theatre show I'm doing at Ulverston. So I've got a Facebook page. It's called Party Piscatorial. I can spell the party bit. The piscatorial bit, I think I spell differently every time. But it's basically piscatorial, I think is a scientific name for fish. But
yes,
it's going to be a good night. All the people that are supporting me, the event supporters, are sending their goodies. There's going to be a raffle on the night. It's for sort of beginners or someone that might even think, you know what, I want to find out what this fishing is all about. It's not necessarily just for beginners, it's for mediums too, but I find the people that think they're experts, and I'm not one of them, I'll let you tell you, this will be a fun night of bumbling and sharing good stories and techniques and hints for beginners to mediums, but I find some of the experts think they know everything, so they probably won't come, which is a good thing. It'll leave seats for people that really need it the most, and that's also some tips and hints on how to go about it, where to go, and to have lots of fun. So it's going to be a night for everyone, really.
Will you be having a slideshow?
There might be a few slideshows in the back, but nothing like that body of work that was at
for the 4th pub.
3 a.m. Yeah. Two nights in a row, I was like a zombie.
All right, mate, nice work, and talk to you next week. Well, let me see. Yes, we can, because next Friday is my last show for the year. So.
Oh, you're joking.
Got to have a holiday, mate. So,
unbelievable.
So we'll be on next Friday, yeah?
Yeah, I'm keen as mustard. I'll talk. What date's that?
Oh, I don't know. It's the 23rd, I think.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk up Party Piscatorial hard there. It's a great Christmas present.
All right, talk soon. See you, mate.
Righto, cheers, thanks.